Hello, my name is Ilana Flamenhaft. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Lamed Daled, Chapter 34. Our chapter opens with a superscription that refers to specific events in David's life. Le David, b'shanato et ta'amo lifnei Avimelech v'yigarsheu v'yelach. To David, when he disguised his sanity in the presence of Avimelech, who drove him out and he left. This refers to the events in Shmuel Aleph, 1 Samuel, chapter 21. David was running away from Shaul, King Saul, who wanted to kill him. All David had with him was the sword of Goliath. He ran away to the Plishtim, Philistines, specifically to King Achish of the city of Gath. The king's guards recognized David and told the king of his military successes. David was very afraid and pretended to be a madman, so in his city that would not be considered a threat. Achish did not need or want a madman, and he sent David away unharmed. David then wrote this psalm to show his gratitude to Hashem. The Midrash on Tehillim in our chapter explained the background of the story. It is pretty unusual for David to have to pretend to be not in his right mind in order to save his life. You don't see that anywhere else, and the Midrash wants to explain the circumstances that led to such a unique episode. The Midrash begins with Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Et hakol asa yafeh b'ito. He made everything beautiful in its proper time. David confirmed the statement that all that God made and does is beautiful, but asked what value there was in madness. David asked God, what satisfaction can you derive from a lunatic walking about, ripping his clothing, chased by little children, and mocked by all? Hashem responded and said, by your life, David, I promise that someday you will need this madness, which you now criticize. As it says in Mishlei, Proverbs 13:13, Baz ledavar yechavel lo. He who despises something will be punished by it. This is exactly what happened when David had to act like a lunatic in the Philistine city of Gath. There is, however, one small anomaly in our pasuk in Tehillim, where the king is called Avimelech, while in Shmuel Aleph, 1 Samuel, the king's name is Achish. Rashi explained that Avimelech is the title of all Philistine kings, similar to all kings in Egypt being called pharaohs. It is a title, not a personal name, and therefore there is no contradiction. While the superscription refers to a specific event in David's life, we must remember the words of Chazal, our sages of blessed memory, who said, Kol ma she'amar David b'sifro kenegdo v'keneged kol Yisrael u'keneged kol ha'itim amru. All that David wrote in his Sefer corresponded to him, to all of Yisrael, and to all times. David shared personal experiences from his life in order to show us the way to best conduct ourselves, especially in times of trouble. The 22 psukim, verses, that follow the superscription are an acrostic. The verses are written in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. The first pasuk starts with an aleph, the second pasuk with a bet, etc. Alphabetical acrostics are not an uncommon form of biblical poetry. Every day we say Ashrei, chapter 145, which is also an acrostic. There are a few reasons why a chapter of Tehillim would be written alphabetically. The Art Scroll commentary on chapter 34 in the Shabbos morning prayers comments that its verses begin according to the letters of the Aleph Beit to show that we are to praise God with our every faculty and to acknowledge that whatever he created from Aleph to Tav is for the good. The Midrash Tadshe, also known as the Braita of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, records in the 29th Parsha that the psalmists and the sages used the Aleph Bet formula in chapters they wanted people to follow more easily or memorize. In quite a few chapters that are arranged alphabetically, some of the letters are missing. In our Perek, the letter Vav, the sixth letter of the alphabet, is missing. In chapter 145, Ashrei, the letter Nun is missing. The Talmud in Brachot 4b offers a reason why the letter Nun is missing from Ashrei. The Gemara explained that the letter Nun stands for the word Nefilah, which means falling. This word has a negative connotation, since it is used regarding the fall of the Jewish people, as it is written, she, the Jewish people, has fallen, Nufla, no longer will the maiden of Israel stand again. Therefore, King David did not include this letter when writing Ashrei. Nevertheless, King David did include a positive connotation of Nun in the following verse, which reads, the Almighty supports all the fallen ones. While the Talmud does offer an explanation for the missing Nun in chapter 145, Unfortunately, it does not explain why there is a missing vav in our chapter. Professor Amos Chacham, author of the commentary on Tehillim in the Dot Mikri series, suggests that the letter vav is missing by virtue of the fact that most of the vav in Tanakh are vav hachibur. It serves as a conjunction, the letter that connects two phrases by the word and. Very few words actually have a letter vav as their first letter. We see evidence of this in chapter 119 in Tehillim, where each letter of the alphabet has eight verses that begin with a specific word beginning with that letter, while the eight verses for the letter vav all act as an attaching vav. To uncover a reason for the missing vav in our chapter, it might be helpful to note the similarities between our chapter 34 and chapter 25 in Tehillim. Both are missing the letter vav, and both have a pasuk after the last letter of the alphabet that begins with the letter pei and use the same shoresh, the same root of a word, pada, to redeem. I found one theory that offers an explanation for removing the letter vav and adding the letter pei that I'd like to share. When one letter from the first half of the alphabet is removed, this results in the letter lamed being the middle letter. And when the final verse added begins with a pei, then the first letter aleph, the middle lamed, and the final letter pei spells out the word aleph, which also means to teach, which is certainly one of David's purposes in writing our psalm. Now that we have studied the superscription and the alphabetical pattern of the chapter, let us now examine the body of the perek. It begins with verse 1, Avarcha et Hashem b'chol eit, tamid tilato b'fi. I bless the Lord at all times. Praise of him is ever in my mouth. David is inviting us to join him and praise Hashem at all times. Is there a way to understand what David means by all times? Kohelet, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, lists 28 different itim, times. The chapter in Kohelet begins, Lakol zman ve'et, lakol chayfetz tachar ha-shamayim. A season is set for everything, a time for every experience under heaven. Some of the times are happy and some are sad, but we are expected to praise Hashem during all of them. These words may be familiar to those who remember the song Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds from the 1960s or more recently from Shweki's song Eight Rekod, Time to Dance. While it seems perfectly natural to praise Hashem when we are happy, especially if we recognize that he has made the good happen, but it is a challenging expectation for us to praise Hashem when we are experiencing a difficult time. Yet, the Mishnah in Brachot states, Chayav Adam Levarech Al Hara'ah Kishem Shehu Mevarech Al HaTovah. One is obligated to recite a blessing for the bad that befalls him, just as he recites a blessing for the good that befalls him. The Gemara in Psachim 50a states, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina said, the world to come is not like this world. In this world, upon good tidings, one recites, blessed who is good and does good, and over bad tidings recites, blessed the true judge. In the world to come, one will always recite, blessed who is good and does good. There will only be one mode of blessing, God for tidings. The rabbis understood how difficult it is for us to see the good that Hashem is doing for us when we can't understand how it could possibly be good. So at this time, we can say Baruch Dayan HaEmet. In verses 5 through 8, we see David's personal prayer and gratitude for Hashem, who saved him from the Philistines. In verses 9 to 11, David is calling upon us to fear Hashem. There are actually two kinds of Yirat Hashem, fear of God. There is Yirat HaOnesh, when we fear the punishment and therefore do what we are supposed to do. A higher level is referred to Yirat HaRomamut, a sense of awe of Hashem's greatness, and this is what we should strive to accomplish. In verses 12 to 15, David describes the behavior of one who fears Hashem. This includes verses 13 and 14, which are quite likely very familiar to us. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yamim lero tov, nitzor l'shoncha mera usfasecha medaber mirma. Who is the man who is eager for life, who desires years of good fortune? Guard your tongue from evil, your lips from deceitful speech. Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan is perhaps best known for his campaign to teach his fellow Jews about the laws of Lashon Hara, forbidden speech. When he was 35, he published his first book, Chafetz Chaim, which was devoted to this topic. He later published two more books on this subject. As has often happened to Judaism's great leader, Rabbi Yisrael Meir became known by the name of his book and is known worldwide as the Chafetz Chaim. The name of the book comes from Tehillim, Psalms 34, "Who is the man that desires life? Chafetz Chaim, keep your tongue from evil." Avodah Zarah 19b relates that Rabbi Alexandri would proclaim in public, in the manner of a merchant selling wares, "Who desires life? Who desires life?" Everyone gathered around him to buy from him, saying to him, "Give us life." He stated the following verse to them, "Who is man that desires life and loves days that he may say good in them? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech." Rabbi Alexandri was trying to demonstrate that David's words should be and could be taken literally. Verses 16 to 22 describe how Hashem takes care of those that serve him and punish those who don't. Verse 20 reads, "Rabot ra'ot tzadik u'mikulam yitzilena Hashem." Though the misfortunes of the righteous be many, the Lord will save him from them all. Grammatically, the word tzadik, righteous man, should have been preceded by the prepositional prefix le, to, or of. But by omitting it, David is teaching us a second lesson. From many misfortunes, a righteous man emerges. Greatness is achieved when we encounter challenges, persevere, and through our efforts, we surmount them. Our final pasuk, verse 23, states, "Podeh Hashem nefesh avadav v'lo ye'eshemu ko'achosim bo." The Lord redeems the life of his servants. All who take refuge in him shall not be ruined. This verse is appended to the chapter so that it doesn't end with words that describe the punishment of the wicked. Instead, it ends with the opposite. Those that serve Hashem will be redeemed. May we all strive to live up to David's expectations, believe in God's goodness and love for us, so that we can take comfort in his constant guidance and protection. Thank you for studying Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.